reporting on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you
down. Direct, second hour, coming to you in Madison on 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. We're going right to the lines themselves. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Andrew?
Good morning, Matt. These GOP leaders aren't dumb. They know that their base and constituents are uninformed, misinformed at best. And the GOP knows what the DOJ can say, what they can't say. But if they can get their base all ginned up, maybe they can turn some of the independents and whatever, and the ones they've lost because of Roe. This is what they're looking for. Look at this shiny object over here. Forget all of this nonsense about Roe, inflation coming down. Look at this shiny object. That's always their game. Thanks,
that
Matt.
That is a very good insight. That's a very good insight, and it's true. And, Andrew, if somebody pulls that on you, you're an articulate guy. You'll know what to say. But let me tell you something, everybody else out there as well. Think about this. You're standing there talking to a guy. Guy goes, shiny object. Guy goes, well, the FBI, what were they doing? Why don't they just tell us what they're doing? You go, well, that's in a warrant. Right, right, the guy will say, why don't we see the warrant? And you say, that's a good point. The FBI is prohibited by law from disclosing it, number one. Number two, they are required by law to give it to Trump. And number three, Trump, under the law, can disclose it. End of argument. Trump should do it. Call him up. Go on social media and say, Trump, we support you. We know what we believe what you say, the shiny object, that what they did was wrong and that this is all a scam. And so I understand you have the warrant. Please give it to us. And you know what's going to you're going to hear? Crickets. You hear crickets like in the middle of a summer night. Absolute silence. The minute that the FBI pointed out that they had given the warrant to Trump, he was asked, let's look at the warrant. Let's see what statute they're going under. Let's see what they think is in there. Let's see what they took. Crickets. Crickets. And that is because that would be devastating for him. So, Andrew, thanks, as always, for calling in. Very perceptive comment. And you're exactly right. They just distract. It's distraction. Here's a shiny object. You chase the fire truck down there. And don't you worry your head about anything else. That is what is going on. Now, while we're talking about that, I want to talk about a fascinating disclosure that came out yesterday and a conjecture. Disclosure and a conjecture. The disclosure was that an FBI informant tipped the FBI off as to exactly what documents Trump had kept at Mar-a-Lago after he falsely had said that they turned everything over when the FBI met with them 7 months ago and then just back in June again. Number two, the FBI informant told the FBI exactly where they were being held, pinpointed it. Now, how many people know exactly what documents Trump kept, and how many people know exactly what closet, what safe, what laundry room, whatever they're being held in now in Mar-a-Lago? It's not me. I'll tell you what, they wouldn't let me through the front door of Mar-a-Lago, and I have no desire to go. It's not you. But it's a very small circle of people that have that kind of knowledge. The Lincoln Project. You've heard of the Lincoln Project. The co-founder is a guy named Rick Wilson. And I've seen him interviewed. Very, very able guy. He's a Republican. Lincoln Project is named after Abraham Lincoln, who was the first Republican president. 16th president of the United States, first Republican president. and, in my view, the greatest president in our history. They call it the Lincoln Project because they want to restore the Republican Party to the integrity of Abraham Lincoln, and I'm with them 100%. But Rick Wilson was interviewed, co-chair of the Lincoln Project. They put on very, very effective ads, by the way, much more effective than any of the ads from the Democrats, quite frankly. Much more effective. Much more effective. And in that interview, he posed a question: who sold out Trump to the agents requiring the FBI to immediately go in with a warrant rather than a subpoena, search warrant? And you know what he said? He said, I personally think it was Jared Kushner. He said, Jared Kushner has an absolute phobia about going to jail himself. Part of the reason is his father was in prison. His father was a wealthy guy, but he was in prison because he sexually blackmailed a relative of his. I mean, I'm not kidding. And then he went to jail. He went to jail. And Jared Kushner has not forgotten that and is petrified of going to prison. Petrified. There are a lot of other suspects, too. Trump treated a lot of people quite poorly. But that is the conjecture of Rick Wilson, the co-founder of the Lincoln Project. I don't know if it's true or not, but somebody ratted Trump out. We're going to the lines. Robert of West Dallas, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Robert?
Good morning. You know, the folks that don't think classified documents and removing them, I don't think they get it. Years ago, I worked for a defense contractor, and when you would enter the facility, there'd be two Marines standing outside the gate in front of a metal detector with machine guns. And if you worked on a program, whether it was a jet engine for an aircraft or a piece of equipment we were making for the military, I mean, even in the facility, the stuff was under tarps at times because of national security. And it was clearly explained to everyone in the documents that you signed that, you know, not a file, not a hard drive, not a piece of paper, nothing leaves the building. You know, the only question would have been, you know, if you did something like that, working on one of these programs, you would lose your security clearance. You would lose your job. And really, the only question is, when were they going to prosecute you and with what? You know, so people that are making light of this, like, hey, this is no big deal that he removed all this stuff out of there when he didn't have the right to do it. I don't think they understand that they've been really light on him, because they didn't want to seem political. I mean, that's even why they served the warrant when he was not home. They didn't want him there grandstanding. So people really need to understand how serious of an offense this is. A lot of people, you know, they'd be locked up. Not only would they be fired, lose their job, lose their clearance, they would probably be serving time if they did some of the stuff that he's done here. So thanks.
Yeah, you know, Robert, that is very good firsthand testimony from somebody who has actually done this, and you've actually done it. I agree with you 100%. You know, when I was in the Navy, I was on a very small ship. There were six officers and 99 crew members, and a very small ship. We steamed independently of the fleet. And I was the operations officer, but I had many duties, but one of them was to be what we call the RPS custodian. Now, this was primitive cryptology. This is back in the early 70s. I mean, now there's so many technical advances, this is a joke, but you had rotors and you had to readjust them and when messages came in. So it was very low-level stuff, and my ship didn't do anything secret. It was just a regular old Navy ship. However, when I had to go to RPS custodian school, you know, you have these three-week schools, six-week schools, two-week schools in the service, to just learn the basics of stuff. And they just drill the heck out of you about how important it was to not take any materials with you, to not take any materials off the ship, off the base. And this is low level stuff. This is not defense contractor stuff that somehow was, you know, really sensitive. We're going back to the lines. Nick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Nick?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. The reason I'm calling is because, I know they raided and they're going after, the pretext of the warrant was that they're going after the documents that he took. I personally think that they're that was a pretext for looking for criminal actions in January 6th, which I absolutely support, but they better have something good with that, because if they don't, then Trump will be the next president. That terrifies me, because as a conservative, I don't want him to represent me. And the thing is, let's face it, Hillary had a lot of secret, top secret documents on her private server, and she wiped emails. That is a federal crime that they refuse to prosecute. So if they choose to prosecute him over this, then that will just make him a martyr, and things will just get worse. So I just think they better have something better than that.
Thank you, Nick. Thanks for calling in. I love getting calls from principled conservatives like yourself, and there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. On the Hillary thing, not as much in my view. There are a lot of people that use secure private servers and shouldn't have. Jeb Bush was one. Hillary Clinton was one. And the decision whether or not to prosecute when there is no invidious intent and there's been no misuse of it or disclosure beyond the person, it's pretty common not to, to prosecute. Hillary Clinton, by the way, is now marketing a hat for charity that says the phrase, quote, "but her emails," but her emails. In other words, that this is worse. I agree with you that given the gravity of the prior of January 6th and the gravity of the potential for violence, something more has got to be done. One thing that could be done, Nick, is Trump, the FBI and Garland could say to Trump, would you waive your right to have us disclose the warrant? Would you, because he can do that. It's one thing for him to say, I won't disclose it. It's quite another for him to say, I won't even give you permission to disclose it. But the second thing is this. The fact that they searched him does not mean they're necessarily going to prosecute him. But I think that the tip may have been more than just that he had stolen secret stuff to monetize it and sell it or to blackmail people and not prosecuting them. It may very well be that there's evidence of crimes that he committed that are quite grave, that have nothing to do with the Hillary situation. And so we're coming to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. But I am going to revisit this topic raised by Nick of Madison, because I think it's quite substantial. Back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to follow up on what Nick of Madison was saying. It's a very, very substantial point. In other words, this is not a normal search and seizure of documents. And when you have a prior president, that aggravates the matter in a lot of people's minds. The other thing is that they are using a false analogy, saying that this makes us a banana republic, you know, something that would happen in South America or Asia or a jihadist country. New guy comes in, throws the old guy in jail and that kind of thing. That is not true. That is absolutely false. There have been prosecutions in democracies of prior presidents, and people understand that this is an exceptional thing. And this isn't even clear that there will be a prosecution of Donald Trump, although I believe there should be. But for instance, in France, this occurred. In Israel, it occurred. There are times in a democracy when a prior president goes so far out of bounds that nobody is above the law. And remember something else. In the founding of our country, a lot of people forget this, but England had a king. We did not want a king. What did a king mean? You know, nowadays you look in Queen Elizabeth, everybody likes Queen Elizabeth, but Queen Elizabeth isn't going around throwing her weight around. Back in the 18th century, and certainly in the Middle Ages, the king was above the law. If the king murdered somebody, you could not prosecute him. If the king raped somebody, you could not prosecute him. Or if he stole land, you could not prosecute him. And if you complained, you'd be executed. I mean, that really happened, especially in the Middle Ages. So the idea was we are going to have something new in the American Constitution and our Bill of Rights in particular, with the most wonderful and the most absurdly unusual development in political history. We're not going to have a king. Nobody's above the law. And we're going to have freedom of religion, no established church, freedom of speech, freedom of petitions to the government, freedom of the right to assemble, freedom of the press, and the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment was a liberal amendment. It was forbidden for the average person to own a weapon in the Middle Ages. Peasants couldn't have them, only aristocrats. Right now, you can't buy a weapon in a communist country like China. You can't buy a weapon in Russia, which is a mafia country. And the fact that you can be armed was a liberal development. What was not liberal was the weapons were muskets back then, and now they're AR-15s. That's a separate issue. We're going to the lines. Randy in Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Randy?
This is Randy in Madison.
Right. I did not mean to insult you, Randy. Randy in Madison.
No, that's all right. Just wanted to be sure that you had the right Randy. Good morning, Matt. I thought you gave a nice little capsulization earlier in the show about Trump's ongoing financial chicanery, whatever, as far as, you know, the manipulating. Because I've been fascinated for the last year. About a year ago, Forbes magazine dropped Trump off of its list of the 500 richest men in America. And that that capped a 40-year career going back to the days when Roy Cohn was the evil genius behind the Trump empire, of Trump passing himself off as a billionaire. And he has, one of the reasons I firmly believe he has not ever revealed his tax returns is he doesn't want people to see that he's never been within shouting distance of $1 billion. Like you outlined, you know, he just keeps highballing the value of his property to banks and lowballing to the government. And people were not, like Forbes magazine, they were not prepared for the breathtaking lying that he was doing about his value. You know, so like I said, he's, right. You know, he may be worth a few $1 million, and that's not chump change, but that would only put him among about, you know, 100 or more New Yorkers. He was never the wealthiest man in America, which is what his reputation became.
Yeah, no, you're making an excellent point, and I just want to follow up on it because it's an important point. You know, I'm not here to criticize if some guy, you know, is talking trash and puffing up his assets and all this in general, but he's not doing it to a federally insured bank and he's not doing it to taxing authorities. People talk smack. I mean, there's some people, this is a phenomenon, a guy, there'll be a big drawing, there'll be a big lottery win. And some guys will rent a limousine, this has happened, and driven through the streets of a small town saying they won and they didn't win. Sometimes they didn't even buy a lottery ticket. There's a certain urge to boast about wealth, even though it's obviously demonstrably false. I think you're absolutely right. He one time sued an author who wrote that he was not wealthy and that this was a scam, and he sued him, and Trump lost. And this occurred, and I met and I know the lawyer who represented the guy who was being sued by Trump. So that, okay, you know, and I would say that guy shouldn't be president of the United States, should not be president of the United States. But when it comes down to cheating a federally insured bank, in other words, overstating the value to get a loan, that's a felony. And when it comes to cheating the taxing authority for property taxes, like you simply put in some documents that say my house is only worth 10% of what it really is worth, then that is a separate story. And I don't think they did a lot of checking. That's one reason, quite frankly, why 87,000 new IRS agents, a lot of them cut out by George W. Bush in 2006, which engendered massive tax fraud for the last 15 years. is going to return something like $1 trillion in lost tax revenue to the United States and help our reduce our budget deficit. So I think that's the real context. Not that he's a BSer, but that he did it in the context of injuring a federally insured bank, or trying to, or injuring an entity that imposes property taxes. So in any event, thanks a lot for calling in. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Director, lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Thanks for all the information that you give us, Matt. It's one of the things that I so enjoy about your show is just solid information about what's happening on national and local fronts. I wanted to add something that I don't know, may be helpful to folks, and I'd love to get your reaction to it. There's a woman who runs a blog called EmptyWheel.net, and she writes a lot about legal matters, and particularly this matter of the Trump and the situation of the Mar-a-Lago search warrant that was executed. She makes a point that it may not be just that this material was, whether it was classified or not classified by Trump and whether he can decide that, but there is instead something that is referred to as the National Defense Intelligence. It's covered under a statute called 18 U.S.C. 793, but it basically says you've taken national defense information you're not authorized to have and you refuse to give it back. So it's something like a code book or a photograph or blueprints or maps or all of those sorts of things. And if they can be used to injure our nation's defense structure, then that's what that statute covers. And she makes a point that part of what may be happening is that under the Presidential Records Act, the archives have spent a year telling Mr. Trump, we know you have this stuff, you got to give it back under the Presidential Records Act, refusal to give it back. And then there you are. Apparently, June 3rd, there was a meeting at Mar-a-Lago with four people from DOJ where they were again trying to say to Trump's lawyers, we believe he has these documents. They are injurious to our national defense. You got to get them to give them back. And they included in that a guy named Jay Bratt, who is the head of the Department of Justice's espionage section, and is still, he kept the document. I mean, I find this amazing that this is in the public knowledge, and why didn't the media cover this? We basically have a situation where he's been told again and again, return this. And when the four people from the Department of Justice came on June 3rd to look at Mar-a-Lago, he had this in an area that didn't even have a padlock on it. They requested that you at least put a padlock on the door. Think about the number of people that can wander through Mar-a-Lago. And if this pertains to the national defense, what else could the FBI do except say, come on, do we have to go to a search warrant to get this? We've asked you repeatedly. We visited your premises. We asked you to do something as simple as putting a padlock, which we all know is not that, national defense secret padlock. I see a problem in terms of defending it. What else would they be able to do in a circumstance like this? And I'd love to hear your reaction to this, and I'll take your response off there. Thanks a lot, Matt, for all you do.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. As always, a very profound call, and frankly, you presented it as well as I've ever heard anybody present it. Let me unpack legally what the basis is of what you're talking about. Now, when Trump was president, remember something, he's not president now, but when he was president, it is true that he had the ability to declassify certain things and to override NSA. For instance, the NSA, National Security Agency, strongly recommend that he not give a top secret clearance to Ivanka, Jared Kushner, and Don Jr., and he overrode that. And he's the commander in chief, and he could do it. The kinds of things that are frequently classified are virtually everything. For instance, you know, we have CIA analysts, economic analysts, who spend all their time analyzing wheat production in Bulgaria, corn shipments in Serbia, you know, that kind of thing. That is technically classified, but nobody's going to execute a search warrant over that, and nobody's going to prosecute anybody over that. But there are other things that are so sensitive, for instance, the identities of undercover agents in Moscow or Beijing or in North Korea or in Saudi Arabia. If their names were disclosed and their addresses and their contact information, they'd be captured and tortured. That is something that Trump could not have declassified. You're right, but that is a matter of national security. And that's just an example. Nuclear secrets. For instance, there are X nuclear launch sites subject to Russian control. 12 of them are temporarily down right now. The other 14, we are leveling, we are monitoring activity and so on. If that got out, they know that we know that kind of stuff, but they don't know the particulars of it. Weapon systems that we are currently working on, for instance, the HIMAR missiles that Ukraine has, at one time we were just working on them, that was classified top secret. Trump, no president has the right to simply reveal that. The second thing to keep in mind is that Trump, once he leaves the presidency, cannot declassify anything. He's no longer president as of noon of January 2021. And so when he walked off with stuff, he can't go and say, well, a lot of this is sort of low level stuff. And, you know, why are they harassing me over it? First of all, it's classified. But secondly, they're not doing this because they're worried about a memo on Bulgarian wheat futures. This is something that, as you say, is a vital urgency. And they met with him 7 months ago. He turned over 12 boxes of documents. A lot of them were ripped or shredded. And then they met with him again in June and said, please give us, we know we have it. Now it's been revealed as an FBI informant who has given them a lot more detail, and they had to go in. And he's saying, well, why didn't you give me a subpoena? We've asked for them for 2 years, guy. We've asked for them, well, for almost 2 years, a year and a half, and you're not turning them over. The deeper question to me, so the answer is that you're correct. There's certain things he could not declassify that are so urgent that they would truly, for instance, if we had a memo that said our air defense system is going to be taken offline for 2 weeks in North Dakota because of X, and we could be subject to a nuclear attack, you can't have that getting around to anybody. So what's the deal on this? Why would Trump do this? Why would, since he no longer has the right to declassify anything, and he couldn't declassify anything when he was president, with he can't just murmur to himself, well, he's shaving, I declassified. I mean, there has to be a formal process. He didn't do it. But secondly, why is he meeting with folks, lying to them and his lawyers, saying that they've turned over everything, which they did say back in June, back 7 months ago. Then in June, people came to him and said, we know you have other stuff, and he still won't. What is so urgent in his mind? Now, some people say it's stuff that he's going to monetize. He's going to sell to people. I don't believe that. I think that anything, his cooperation with the Russians has already been substantial, and it's ongoing. The second thing is that it's something that's terribly embarrassing to our allies or to other people in the government. And if it comes out, their reputations will be destroyed, and he'll use that as blackmail if he's prosecuted. I don't believe that either. I suppose it's possible. What I think is going on here is that there are things that, if they came out, would subject him to criminal prosecution, not because he retained the document, because of what's in the document. You remember at one time, he was at a dinner at Mar-a-Lago in a public dining room. There are club members at the next table, and he's talking about a conversation he had with Kim Jong-un and this and that, highly classified. He does this all the time. So my own suspicion is that what they were looking for were these documents that would have disclosed things that showed conduct on his part with regard to the Russians or the North Koreans or the Chinese that would devastate the country and, frankly, devastate him. And that's why he's doing it. The final thing, Joe, I would simply say is this. When you're in discussions with people, and why doesn't the FBI disclose what they want? They already gave him the warrant. He can disclose it and they can't. Now, I think that Merrick Gardner could do a couple of things. I think what a Bobby Kennedy would do would be to send a letter to Trump saying, we ask that you waive your right to our ability to disclose the warrant. That puts a lot more pressure on him, quite frankly, than just saying, no, I won't do it myself. There are things like that you can do. But the other thing is just keep up constant contact like we're doing right now on this radio station, 1,000 radio stations around the country, pointing out the common sense thing here. The information has been disclosed to Trump. Trump knows what he had. And you know, one of the things he just did, he now is claiming the FBI planted evidence, planted it. And Marjorie Taylor Greene and other Republicans are picking up on that. Experienced prosecutors point out that the only people who say that are usually criminals, frequently in organized crime. It's their only way to try to explain things. But I'll tell you something. When these documents are ultimately revealed, there is going to be no question about their authenticity. And they've met with him twice. He was untruthful twice. And this can't be permitted to continue. And apparently there was an FBI informant, highly placed, who most recently told them in greater detail what he has and exactly where he has it. Now we're going to a break. The lines are alive. There are a number of callers. Do not hang up. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
As the snow flies.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are live. We're going right to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're first. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, the din we hear, the cacophony we hear from the right is just amazing on this. All the FBI, this could be you treated like this. Well, I certainly hope that would be the way I would be treated by law enforcement. That they're serving me a lawful warrant, you know, that they've achieved through lawful purposes, you know, going before a judge and presenting evidence of why the warrant was needed and then presenting that to me upon the search of my abode. I mean, that's just the way it's done under the rule of law. I mean, and this nonsense, they've planted evidence. Apparently, there may actually be the inside management talked about, you know, probably earlier, that there's somebody on the inside said this information is here and that you need to come and get it. And that, and like has been said, Trump knew that they wanted this these documents back. He's known for months and months. They never should have left the White House they never should have left in the first place. He took them illegally in the first place, a crime in itself. And I mean, this defense of, you know, Donald Trump is just mind-boggling, if you want to think about it. Look at the way they looked into Bill Clinton. I mean, they started looking into Bill Clinton's financial affairs under Whitewater, and it stretched into his conduct during his personal life. I mean, that the right, Kenstar went right. beyond his... went beyond what his job was supposed to be and went beyond it because they wanted to get Bill Clinton.
Right. No, there's breathtaking hypocrisy in what they're doing. And the thing that bothers me, Mark, is not just breathtaking hypocrisy on the part of, say, Trump supporters, but leaders in the Congress, you know, Kevin McCarthy. I mean, people of that nature, Republican leaders are buying into this. Thanks for calling. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today? Wisco Paul.
Morning, Matt. Thanks for your show. I'd like to say thanks for Joe Biden. He's awesome. He's done more in 2 years than Trump ever did in 4 years. It's just an awesome thing. You got Manchin on board. He's done everything from infrastructure all the way to the environment. Think about that. In 2 years with headwinds, Trump. So this is what I'm going to say this morning. Just think what this man could do in the next 2 years if he has the Senate and the Congress on his side. So the Senate election in this state is going to be very, very important because great things can happen for this country. I mean, things that I have never imagined would happen. We got to get Mandela elected because it's going to be a nasty, nasty negative election. So I just want to get that out there. Thank God for Joe Biden, man. He's just a wonderful man, great president. Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. That's a very, very good comment, and I agree with you. I mean, Joe Biden put NATO back together. You know, he's put on a mini NATO to contain China. He has in foreign policy, but then even in domestic policy, he now passed hard and soft infrastructure. Obviously, we didn't get everything we wanted, but we got a lot of stuff. And in addition to that, he appointed a Supreme Court justice, and he's been in the CHIP bill. I think he's a very, very strong and effective president. And I agree with you on Mandela Barnes. He's got to get elected over Ron Johnson. And let me tell you something else. If nothing else, remember this. Ron Johnson said last week that he wants to make Social Security and Medicare not guaranteed, that they have to be reevaluated every year to see if we have enough money. You know what they're going to find out. Any money that's left over is going to go into a tax break if they take power. And they keep chipping away. You're going to go from $2,000 a month Social Security to $1,500 to $800. And then finally, they'll let you put some money in a retirement account. Do not ever voluntarily give up your pension. Do not ever voluntarily give up your medical care. Do not ever voluntarily give up your right to vote. And you're going to give up all three of those if you vote for people like Ron Johnson. Going back to the lines, Gary of Sussex, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gary?
Hey, I got two comments, and then I want to hear what you have to say about it. First of all, I was listening to Joe Biden talking about inflation is at zero. It's at zero. It's just at zero. And things are looking good. Well, it's actually at 8.5 from year to year, and inflation didn't change from last month to this month. So he says it's at zero. I mean, how stupid does he think Americans are? I mean, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And then as far as the raid on Trump, like the comment I said yesterday and the day before, which was my own comment when I heard it 2 days ago when I said it, it's going to bite the Democrats in the butt. And so I'm just wondering, because with Hillary, she ended up burning all these phones, bleaching them out, shredding all this other sort of stuff. And I know that you've heard it a million times from everybody else. How come they didn't nail Hillary? And then Hunter Biden, how come they didn't go out there and raid his house with the laptop stuff? So I just want to hear your comments on that. All right.
Yeah, no, let me, because I always appreciate opposing points of view. I'm going to hit three things. One, on inflation, I think you're wrong. They didn't say that inflation is 0% for the last year. What he said is for the previous month.
Yes, last year.
No, hold on. Why don't we put Gary on hold while I talk? The previous month, excluding shelter, it was zero. Economists look at a computation of inflation, and it had dipped down to zero, excluding shelter, which is one of the criteria they use. It's also come down steadily from a year ago. So you go year to year, say July to July, August, September, October. It is going down. Gas right now is under $4 a gallon. Now, is a president responsible for inflation or not? Let me tell you something. This worldwide inflation. Inflation is like a fever in the body. You cannot possibly say, okay, I have a fever in my foot, but not in my knee. Having said that, a good president can do certain things to lessen the impact of it. And he's certainly done that. Joe Biden has been more effective in fighting inflation and the Federal Reserve. He reappointed Jerome Powell than any other country in the world, number one. Number two, Hillary Clinton didn't shred anything. That's simply conspiracy stuff. She was accused of receiving some emails on her private server, which was itself secure, and was never charged that she somehow forwarded it to someone that shouldn't have it or anything of that nature. But you're right, technically, she should not. You should not do it. Jeb Bush shouldn't have done it either. A lot of people in government do it, especially when things that are not top secret. And she was properly mentioned that. What was improper was during the race, Comey came out and said, I'm investigating Hillary Clinton, but he didn't say he was investigating Donald Trump for treason in collaborating with the Russians. He should have said that too, and he did not say that, and that's what tipped that race. Number three, if Hunter Biden has committed something wrong, I think he should be investigated. But Gary, do you think that he did something worse than Don Trump Jr. and Jared Kushner? Jared Kushner got $2 billion from the Saudis, Saudi Arabians. The Saudi Arabians were in on 9/11, the government. There are 28 pages that have been still classified that show contact with a Saudi consul in a West Coast city. The Saudi government was in on that. The Saudi Arabians are murderers. We brought in Saudi pilots to train them in Florida about 3 years ago. They brought guns to class and killed some of our sailors. Trump didn't do anything about that. So, Gary, before you get on your high horse about Hunter Biden, let's hear about your high horse on Jared Kushner and Don Jr. And I would say overall, the most effective argument I think conservatives can make, and you're a principal conservative, is look, instead of who's your old man or so's your old man or that kind of stuff, it's what you would do on inflation that Joe Biden and Jerome Powell are not doing. Bill of Shorewood, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Bill?
Just a quick reference to the consumer price index. Month over month is what Gary is referring to. This last month is actually minus 0.3%. Year over year is what Gary did say, 8.5%. So you have to look at month over month to get recent trends. You have to look year over year to get the longer term trends. And all of this is available on something called FRED. If you Google on FRED, which means Federal Reserve Economic Data, it all pops right up. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, Bill, that's very, very good stuff. I like hearing just hardcore economic stuff, which we get from Bill, who's a professional economist. And that's right. I mean, it has declined. It is actually under it's 0.3, I think you said, month to month. So it's going down. Last year, the total 8.5%. Most countries in Europe and everywhere else would love to have 8.5%. Biden doesn't want it, but he wants it lower, and it keeps getting lower. And Jerome Powell is part of that solution. So I was and he was appointed by Trump. So I would simply say economics doesn't know ideology. Economics is not ideological. And no, nobody wants inflation. But when you have it worldwide, you have to do something about it. And we're doing a better job in this country than anywhere else. We've come to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers as always. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
So he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto. And then one night in desperation, the young man breaks away. He buys a gun, steals a